Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue, particularly if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. That number is 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And as you said, we have Andrew Farley on the broadcast today, and we're offering Andrew's book to anyone who gives to help us meet our year-end target. And his book is Twisted Scripture, 45 Lies about the Christian Life that he's untangled for us. And Andrew, welcome to the broadcast. As always, it's good to have you.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, so one of the lies that you've tackled in this book has to do with the self, dying to self. And you've looked at that passage where John the Baptist says, I must decrease and he must increase. And many Christians have taken that as kind of a spiritual thing, and they'll say in their own lives, oh, I just need to decrease so that Christ can increase. Is that true? How is that twisting the scripture?
Well, I mean, you look at what John the Baptist's intent is, it's pretty clear. He's saying, I had a certain ministry. My ministry was repent from your sins. And there's someone coming after me who, well, my goodness, I'm not even fit to tie his shoelaces. His name is Jesus, and he'll have a greater ministry, a greater message, and there'll be a greater outcome than John the Baptist's ministry. So that was his intention. I mean, he's just saying that there's going to be a transition here, and so I've got to decrease and he will increase. And so when you look at that, then you fast forward 2,000 years later, and there's a billboard here in West Texas, you know, more of him and less of me. Now, I hear what people are saying. I mean, we want to be humble and we want to be dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the most creative, unique, and beautiful thing about our God. He doesn't need us to decrease. He doesn't need us to be diminished. He doesn't need to stuff us in a corner. He doesn't need to push us down in order for himself to be glorified. I mean, I think about the Old Testament story of the burning bush. And I mean, it says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord was in the bush. It says the fire did not consume the bush. And I love that analogy or picture, because it reminds me of what we're talking about right here. We've got Christ in us, but that presence does not consume us. So Christians are the only ones on the planet who can wake up every day and be themselves and express Jesus at the same time without any conflict. And I think, you know, Eastern mysticism says empty yourself, get rid of yourself. Religiosity says you got to get yourself dead, try to die every day. I mean, it's very martyr-like and religious to try to kill yourself off every day, but the gospel is more beautiful than that, Bob. We are united with Christ, one spirit with the Lord. We're on God's team. We get to be ourselves and express Jesus at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he created us, and when he created Adam and Eve, he looked and said, that's good. And so he wanted them to live out what he created them to be, their full selves, yeah, as human beings. And boy, that was lost through sin, and now it's restored in Christ. We get to be fully human the way God created us to be, to enjoy this life independence upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think it's a beautiful chapter that you've written in the book, and I think is very helpful to people. And as we said at the top of the hour, it's our gift to you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month to help us meet our fiscal year end target. So we want to put this in your hands, and you can You can request your copy by going to our website. Bob, give them some more of the details of that.
Well, I was going to get Andrew to give us some more details on the overall book. It's broken into 45 different segments, and I think each one stands alone, and they're just beautifully done. And I don't think there's anybody better to talk about the book and the overall impact it can have in listeners' lives than the author himself. So talk to us about the book, Andrew, and then we'll get more information about how our listeners can pick up a copy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've known each other here at Basic Gospel. We've known each other for decades. I mean, nearly three decades, and we carry the same message. We proclaim the same truths. And so if you enjoy what you hear day in and day out on Basic Gospel, I mean, this book is the perfect complement to that. It is a great follow-up if you want to dig deeper and look up scriptures and consider some of the lies that we've all grown up with. So everything from salvation, what is it that saves us, to are we secure in our salvation? Can we lose our salvation? Can we flub it up? Can we mess it up? Is God ever going to ditch us or abandon us? What about our identity in Christ? You know, who are we? And if we're really new, then why do we still sin? And where does temptation come from? And what about our forgiveness? I mean, we keep hearing that we're totally forgiven, but what about turning from sin? So how does turning from sin fit with being totally forgiven? So many important questions, guys. I mean, these are things that every Christian needs to think through and settle in their own mind what they believe and why they believe it. So I'm excited that those who give a gift this month to Basic Gospel, that they're going to get this book in their hands and really benefit as they deepen their understanding of God's grace.
So there it is, friends, straight from the author himself. Make your donation at basicgospel.net and help us keep the good news coming and receive your copy of Twisted Scripture. And that's, of course, by our friend Andrew Farley, who is joining us on today's broadcast. But remember, the need is real, friends. We really need to hear from you before midnight on the 30th, just 4 days from now. So again, donate at basicgospel.net.
Yeah, and just a reminder, we do need to hear from you by June 30th. So that means if you are going to give via credit card online, make sure that you do that before June 30th, on or before June 30th. And if you're writing a check, make sure that your check is dated no later than June 30th so that we can count it in for this month's giving. Yeah. So those are just some important reminders to those of you who want to help us here to meet our year-end target.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're here. 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines right now. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello. Hey, maybe y'all can help me with something. I've been looking at feet in Scripture, you know, and I kind of see the body of Christ as Christ's feet upon this earth. And, in Revelations 1, it says that John fell at Christ's feet as if dead, okay? And then in 19, he fell at, I guess, an angel or another believer's, and he said, don't do this, because I'm a fellow servant that has the testimony of the true living Christ, Jesus Christ. Get up. But my question is about Revelations 4:10. The 24 elders fell down before him and cast and that sat upon the throne to worship him, and that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. My question is, why do 90% or more of everybody that I know say that they cast their crowns before his feet, and when you tell them the correct scripture, they go right back to sand feet with that? I think it's because they're so used to casting their crowns before the feet here on earth that they just want to continue it in heaven.
Yeah. Well, Clay, that's an interesting question. I mean, for me, when I read those scripture passages and look at the 24 elders throwing those crowns like frisbees across the room and saying, hey, this is not about me, this is about Jesus, I would say whether it's at the foot of that throne or if it's at his feet, I mean, those sort of expressions, they to me basically say, I'm approaching the throne with an attitude of humility and dependence, and I've got nothing to do with this. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who grew me up. It's about him from start to finish. And, you know, you've got your bones to pick with people talking about feet. I would say my issue on this is when everybody turns the word reward singular into rewards plural, and they imagine themselves stacking up crowns on their heads and, you know, oh, I've got the crown of righteousness. Now all I need is to earn the crown of life, and then all I'll need is another crown. They're imagining all these crowns and rewards plural up in heaven. And from what I can tell in the New Testament, you know, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming, and my reward is with me. And reward is singular there. And, you know, Paul reminds us that nothing is of value next to knowing Christ. Everything else is dung next to knowing Christ. So maybe that's what those 24 elders in the vision, and it is a vision. We need to remember that. I mean, it was given to John as a vision to communicate a message. What's the message? Well, Jesus is our reward. It's all about him. It's not about us earning certificates redeemable in heaven's gift shop. It's not about us earning square footage or crowns. It's about Jesus being the crown of life to us. It's about Jesus being the crown of righteousness to us. It's really all about Jesus. So many pictures and symbols and shadows and visions, all to say that Jesus reigns supreme. It's all about him. So does that help? Those are my thoughts.
It does. You know, and I don't expect you to believe. I almost lean to where I see the crown.
Yeah.
It says that scripture you quoted, see that no man take your crown because I come quickly, is our sealed temple on earth that will be glorified. And then I see the crown that we cast before his throne as the glorified body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just what I feel.
Well,
and
Clay,
that would make it all about him.
Yeah, it's always great to hear from you. You've got interesting insights, and appreciate you calling us today. And, you know, what I love most, Bob, about Clay is that he does always bring it back to Jesus, and that's where the attention should be.
That's exactly right. And I think that's why, you know, in John 19, when John fell before the angel's like, hey, it's not about me. I'm just a servant. I'm just a messenger. This thing really is about Christ. He's the only one that is worthy of our worship, and he is the only one that is going to receive our worship when the story comes to its culmination at the end. So, Clay, thank you again for that great question. We had this question from one of our Facebook viewers, Manuel, and he says, how come Christ has not appeared to anyone in this modern age like he appeared to Paul, for example? So what can we say about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the fact is Jesus told us, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. And as far as him appearing, well, he has appeared, not visibly, but he's appeared in my life, and he's appeared in your life, and he's appeared in the lives of every believer. It says Christ in you, your only hope of glory. We're told in Ephesians, as Paul prays for the saints, that there would be certain things revealed about the love of Christ right now in our lives. So, yeah, we're not having a Damascus Road experience where Jesus is visibly out in front of us, but I would say what we have is better, Bob. I mean, would I rather have Jesus standing out in front of me, 10 feet in front of me, or would I rather have the resurrected Christ living in me every single moment? And that's what I think Christians today, we really need to wrap our minds around this and celebrate the fullness of this, that Jesus himself is alive, living in me. It's no longer I who live, Galatians 2, but Christ who lives in me. And, you know, Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. Christ is your life, Paul says. So this is greater than some appearance of Jesus. This is the indwelling of Jesus. That's even better.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, when Jesus appeared to Paul, there was a revelation to give to Paul. So he took kind of the mystery that was hidden, locked up in the scriptures of old, and opened that up for Paul and revealed that to him. And so he wrote it down. And as he encountered these various churches and the situations that they were going through, this truth, this explanation of the death, burial, and resurrection, he laid out for us because it had been revealed to him. He passed on what had been revealed. Well, all the truth has been revealed. We have it written down for us, and the Holy Spirit takes what's been laid down for us and then reveals it to us. So it's nothing new. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when people are looking for revelation today or an appearance from Jesus today, they're hoping for new revelation, some new truth. And we hear a lot of people saying, you know, God gave me this new truth. Well, if he's given you new truth, man, what was wrong with the old truth?
Yeah.
What was wrong with the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ? What's wrong with the fact that God has sent his Spirit into our lives? What's wrong with the fact that God has forgiven all of our sins and given us a new identity? That's the truth that's been revealed to us through Jesus, and that's the truth that changes our lives today and connects us to the living God, so that we can encounter and experience his presence in and through us.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we have time on the clock, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd like to talk it over with you right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Andrew, I want the two of you to get back to what we were talking about at the outset of the broadcast about this excellent new book Andrew has written called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told, and about the tie-in of our financial need at the same time.
Well, we are coming to our fiscal year end. It's when we close the books on the year, and it's a critical time for us, and we're just praying that God has an outpouring of generosity through his people to help meet our target. We started out needing $200,000 by June 30th. We've whittled away at that. We're about halfway there. So we just have a few days for that other half to come in. So we're counting on you to step up and to give. And just to show our appreciation, we want to put this great new resource by Andrew in your hands. You know, there's so many objections. There's so many questions that people have regarding the Christian life. And this is a resource that looks at 45 of the most critical questions, the most critical things that suppress our joy and truth. And it's written in a very clear, simple, easy to understand way. Yeah. And we know you will enjoy reading through it. One of our YouTube listeners commented, Wayne said, "Hey, I'm really enjoying the book, Andrew, so thank you." And we know anybody who gets the book is going to have that same feeling. So right. We want to put it in your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to help meet our fiscal year-end target.
Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. As Bob said, it's a copy is yours as you make your gift before midnight on the 30th, which is just 4 days away. So we encourage you to click donate at basicgospel.net and join us, friends. Be a partner with us in getting out the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, guys, we had this call that came in overnight.
I don't really have a question, but I'm calling in and wanted to share my testimony and my awakening of the power of the Holy Spirit. Came through the ministry of Major Ian Tollett, of understanding that I was saved through the blood of Jesus, but then I heard the Major talk about the resurrected life that is him, not us. And so 2 weeks later, after I understood and had a beautiful, intimate walk with Christ, I was held up at gunpoint at our home. And in prayer, instead of telling God what he already knew, all I did was ask instructions. God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord just removed the terror and fear and replaced it with his promises. And I knew nothing would happen to me. So I just want to share my testimony of how God replaced terror and fear with his love, and asked if I would share how much God loved them through 2 burglars that had guns to my head. I said, with his passion in and through me, I said, God loves you. And there's more to this beautiful story of how God works. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. I asked yesterday for people to call in and tell us how the reality of the resurrection has impacted their lives in a very practical way, and certainly that was a story that that fit the request. And thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. And you know, the power of God's presence in us is something that we just cannot underestimate in every area of life. So thank you so much for sharing that testimony with us. Let's go now to Napa, Idaho, and talk with Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Daryl.
Hi. I have a piggyback question on top of the last male caller when you were explaining that there's no new revelation or no new truth that's come about for the Word of God. But how does that square with all of a sudden these changes inside most churches, this downward spiral of dressing casual, and it seems like new truth is being spread through clothing and other rock music and things like that? That seems to me to be a new truth.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. You know, when I look at how people have dressed over the last 2,000 years, I don't think that has hardly anything to do with the revelation of the gospel itself. I mean, in my view, guys, you can share your own thoughts as well, but whether you're in a pair of swim trunks or a tuxedo or anything in between, it's about the message. And I agree that, you know, we've had a megachurch movement the last two or three decades. We've had a seeker-sensitive movement. We've had different movements that have affected the actual depth of the message in many regards. But, you know, whether somebody's wearing denim or cotton, whether somebody has holes in their jeans or not, whether somebody's wearing shorts or a suit jacket, you know, that to me just pales in comparison to the importance of, you know, how deep are we going in terms of teaching and proclaiming the cross and the resurrection and what Jesus did and who Jesus is and what it means to receive him and have his life in you. So, you know, we've watched everything from stained glass to church pews to no, let's do chairs, to let's sit in a circle, no, let's face forward, let's have an elevated stage, let's have a regular, let's have fast music, let's have slow music. You know, to me, all of that is just window dressing. It's not the message. And people walk away with content, or they don't. And so I think that at Basic Gospel, what we're trying to say, guys, is, you know, it's the content of the gospel message that matters. Hear it, believe it, live it. That's the focus. That's the most important thing. What are people doing with the message itself of Jesus Christ?
And certainly, Daryl, a lot of churches today, and a lot who are proclaiming the message are bending to the culture. So they're assimilating some of what the culture is bringing to bear. So we see churches starting to wrestle with marriage. Is marriage just between a man and a woman, or can marriage be between two men or two women? So they're trying to change to fit the culture, but truth doesn't change. Truth stands, and we either believe it or we don't, and all of that truth is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate reality. And so we need to proclaim him as the way, the truth, and the life, and to tell folks that no one can come to the Father except through him. That's the constant. And culture needs to learn to bend itself back to what is true, to anchor itself to that culture, I mean to that truth, and then and only then will we see you know, the goodness of the Lord being spread throughout this world. So, yeah. Truth is vitally important. And so, thank you, Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl. Good to you. The program is getting into Nampa, Idaho. Great to hear from you. Friends, please remember that we're only 4 days away from our fiscal year end, and your support is vital to keep this new covenant message of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ on the air and online. So please make your most generous gift today at basicgospel.net. Our thanks to Andrew for being here today and for telling us more about his new book, Twisted Scripture. And as you make your gift today or before midnight on the 30th, friends, we're going to send you a copy to say thank you for caring, thank you for helping. So please make your gift today if you can at basicgospel.net. Remember, if you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, leave us a voicemail. You can do that at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-377. I'm sorry, 844-322-2742. Or email your question to Bob at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and all this ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.